My grandfather was a mystery to me. He immigrated to America from Eastern Europe.
I remember in my heart when you said we had to part. Now my dreams are fading in the blue, 'cause I'm still in love with you.
My mom said that he had a very hard life. His English wasn't very good, and when I was a kid, we didn't have much of a relationship. Unfortunately, he died when I was young. I never really got to know him. Decades later, I was scrolling through my Facebook feed and came upon a post featuring a song that my grandfather had written and performed. I was blown away. My late grandfather was a musician and a songwriter? I had to learn more before it was too late. This podcast is dedicated to discovering my grandfather and the musical side of him that I never knew existed. This is My Grandfather's Secret Life in Music.
I'll be loving you till the day.
Welcome to My Grandfather's Secret Life in Music. My name is Jason Morris. In our last episode, I interviewed my amazing grandmother. There were certain questions that she answered with clarity. There were, however, some questions that caused her confusion, and she admitted that her memory was failing her. Fortunately, Grandma, spurred by my interview, woke up in the middle of the night with all kinds of new information that she wanted to share with me. And luckily, my mom was there to write it all down. On today's episode, I'll share this new information with my brother, screenwriter Shane Morris. I will also ask him about his personal memories of our late grandfather and the struggles of immigrants in America. Next, we interview my brother, Shane Morris, on My Grandfather's Secret Life in Music. So Shane, going back to when we were kids, what do you remember about Grandpa?
We used to go to Grandpa and Grandma's house a lot. And our grandmother was, you know, is full of life and fun. And she would cook us these amazing meals. And we spent a lot of time with her. And she would take us places and do lots of things with us. And I always say that to compare her to Grandpa, because when I think about Grandpa, I really don't know a lot about him. My memories of him are him sitting on the couch and me being in the living room and feeling intimidated because he didn't speak a lot. He had this very stern face. I have memories of him kind of walking around their property. Their house sat on a lot of land. I think they had something like 12 acres, maybe more. But he didn't really talk, and there wasn't much interaction. And I don't really remember him ever really saying much to me or to any of us. I do have really fond memories of the house that he built. That house was amazing, especially as a kid. It was this four-level house. It had this basement, two floors in between, and this attic. And for a little kid, it was this incredible place to explore, especially the attic, which had these little doors that were literally kid-sized. And when you opened those doors and went through them, there was like these little secret rooms in the back, which were obviously just for storage. But I loved that. So I loved that part of it, of going over to that house and exploring that house and playing outside there. I thought was so much fun. They had a little creek. And again, there was so much land to roam around and all these big trees. And he built all of that. The other thing that sticks out, and this might sound strange, Grandpa was the first interaction I had ever had with death. It was the first dead body I had ever seen. I don't know if you remember that, but He was very sick, and they brought him home, probably hospice or something, so that he could be home for the, you know, end of his life. And I remember we slept over there at that house the night before he died, because I think all of his kids, our aunts and uncles, our mom, you know, they must have known it was coming. And so we slept over there. And I remember that day seeing him kind of laying on the couch. He was still alive, wasn't talking. And then we sleep over, and the next morning I wake up and I hear crying downstairs, you know, kind of muffled voices. And I didn't know what was going on, but my mind started thinking, okay, I think this is what has happened. And I walk downstairs, and there he is on the couch. And I can still picture that to this day, him lying on that couch beneath that window. And it was obviously, it was scary and strange. And I had never seen a person who had died before. But that still sticks with me as a very strong memory, which seems so strange now to think that one of my memories of our grandpa's life is his death, but it obviously had a big impact on me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, going back a little bit when you're talking about grandpa and how he used to walk the property and you remember him pacing around, you know, that's something I clearly remember too. And I also, you know, remember he would walk with his hands behind his back. And I found out from mom that I guess because of his construction work and carpentry, he had a lot of back problems, which I didn't know about. And, you know, maybe that had a lot to do with his mood.
I didn't know that about his back issues. I mean, it makes sense. I think, you know, here was a guy who had to work very hard to make it. Imagine it must have taken a toll on him.
You were talking a little bit about Grandpa when he passed away, and you know, the images you took from that day. Do you remember going to his funeral?
I do remember going to the funeral. Even more than that, I remember going to his gravesite there afterwards and visiting it afterwards with either Grandma or Mom, because Grandma especially would love to go there and visit Grandpa's grave and, you know, put flowers, make sure it looked neat. She kept it, you know, very, very tidy. And so it was obviously very important for her to go there. And it's at a beautiful cemetery.
Yeah.
Does he have a music note on his gravestone?
Ah, interesting you picked up on that. Not only does he have a musical note on his gravestone, but he has the title of a song that he wrote on his gravestone called I Remember in My Heart.
Wow, okay.
I remember in my heart when you said we have to go. Now my dreams are fading in the blue, cause I'm still in
That song is what inspired this whole podcast. Basically, I was on Facebook one day and I came upon a post that our Aunt Renee was tagged in by this guy named Steve Van Kirk. And it was Grandpa's song. It was a very rough recording, but I was also blown away that something like that, you know, was there. Had you heard that song before I shared it with you?
I don't really remember it, but of course, you know, the lyrics all sort, you know, it starts to all sort of come back. But I don't know where I would have originally heard that or who would have played it. Had you heard it before it was on Facebook?
I don't remember ever hearing that. Facebook kind of introduced me to this side of Grandpa that I had really no idea about. What do you think that song's about?
there's a lot of emotion in the song, right? It's about someone missing someone else and longing for them and, you know, and not being with them. And he's got that part about, you know, seeing this person in his dreams and holding on to that. So it's this very romantic, sad song, maybe also touched by regret. And what struck me the most about it, I honestly, the very first thing I thought after I listened to the song all the way through was that was the most I had ever heard Grandpa's voice in my entire life. In all the years that we knew him and all the time we spent visiting their house on the weekends and seeing him there, I'd never heard him speak that much. And so this, you know, 3-minute song, it's like his way of talking and saying or speaking his mind, or, you know, kind of sharing or revealing a bit about his inner life. And again, I mean, if you were to add up the number of words that you heard Grandpa speak directly to you, do you think it adds up to 3 minutes?
Not from my memory. I interviewed the guy who recorded that song back in 1975. He lived near our grandparents, and he was in a band with Uncle Alan. You know, he basically tells the story of Grandpa coming over to his house because he heard he had this recording equipment, and him sitting down and them recording the song. And one thing I found amazing, because, you know, you've been talking about, you know, Grandpa's language barrier with English. He actually did that song in one take.
Wow. And I would think in 1975, that was not an easy thing or an opportunity that many people would have to just record their music.
When you and I want to be creative, we can grab our phone, we can grab our laptop, and we have all this technology to express ourselves, you know, whether it's good or bad. But for someone living in that time and not having a lot of money, I wonder how frustrating it was for Grandpa to have this inner creativity, this musical side of him, that he really didn't have the ability to, you know, express in a way of like sharing it with people and of recording it.
You know, it's so easy to forget with your grandparents, your parents, that, you know, they're people too, right? And they have dreams and aspirations and things that they hope to do in life that maybe they didn't get to achieve in the same way that, you know, we feel this way. Imagine Grandpa as this guy who, you know, built his house and would do carpentry work and, you know, probably struggled. I don't think they ever had a lot of money. I think everything was a real struggle, but he kind of had this deep dream to do something else that he didn't get to do. So I wonder, it's kind of fascinating to think about what he must have felt that day when he got to record this song, and what did he imagine he was going to do with that? Did he do it for fun so that he could have this recording and it would, this song would be memorialized forever?
So years later, the guy who recorded it, he plays guitar. He learned how to play Grandpa's song on the guitar, and then he and a friend of his recorded it, and his friend did the vocals, and they gave Grandpa a cassette tape of the song. And apparently Grandpa, according to Steve, Grandpa was so appreciative of them recording his song that Grandpa played it over and over again, including, according to Steve, till the day he died.
You know, I wonder if that's the tape that I've heard of that song.
Ah, that would make a lot of sense. You may have never heard the Grandpa singing version,
yeah,
but you probably heard the version that Steve Van Kirk and his friend recorded for Grandpa, which is crazy, right? How all these things all come together.
Well, it's crazy that he writes this love song, he records it, and within his lifetime, another band covers his music, right? And does their own kind of version of it. And that must have been so rewarding because, you know, any artist is hoping that what they've created is going to be heard or seen by other people, and that it's going to have this life beyond what they've done with it. It probably didn't exactly fulfill his dreams of, you know, did he hope to be the next Frank Sinatra? Well, he didn't achieve that, but, you know, it's cool to think that it's had this life beyond, and that, you know, all these years later, the song has resurfaced, and now his kids and grandkids and, you know, great grandkids get to listen to it. Because I played the song for my son, and he's very sweet. And I explained who wrote the song and whose voice that was. I said, and now obviously he knows grandma, but he never knew grandpa. And so I explained, this is your great grandpa. And I said, what'd you think about it? And he said, oh, it's good. And then he continued to do his homework next to me. And then the song stopped. And then a couple minutes later, he said, could you play it again? And so I played it for him again. And, you know, that's all we really want to do is to create something that lives on, that allows you to live on through the years. Hearing that song again kind of brought him back to life, but also brings him back to life in a way that I didn't appreciate or know in the past when he was here.
That is so true. We also re-recorded it for this podcast where our cousin Nikki redid the song, and she even, you know, she put her touch on it. Like, she doesn't play it note for note. It's kind of a collaboration between Grandpa and his granddaughter. What did you think of her recording?
I remember in my heart when you said we had to part. Now my dreams are fading in the blue, 'cause I'm still in love with you.
I thought it was really cool to see what Nikki did with Grandpa's song. Nikki's a testament to this legacy, whether it's genetic or the kids were influenced with Grandpa. Did he sing around the house? Did he ever play music for them? You know, she's an incredibly talented musician. Her brother's this incredibly talented guitarist. That, you know, our aunt and uncle are professional violinists. And to see her kind of do her own thing with it, I thought was really cool and really special. It kind of is a bridge between these generations and all these years later. Again, the song is being covered by someone else. I imagine Grandpa would have been completely thrilled that the song meant something and has carried on and didn't just disappear.
I remember in my heart all your kisses and your charm. Please come back and say that you'll be mine. I'll be loving you till the day I die.
It was really fun to kind of compare the two versions. And you know, Grandpa's recording, it has this feeling of something. I don't know a lot about music, but it feels like something from the 20s. It's not a criticism of it at all. It just has this kind of old-time feel to it. It was fun to see Nikki modernize it. It's really well done and filled with all this deep emotion, too.
I felt the same way. She sounded very emotional in it. And I said, Nikki, you know, what are you thinking about when you sing that song? Because, you know, it sounded like the song was written from Grandpa's point of view about losing someone. And I'm like, how is that going to affect you, Nikki? And she said, it affects me in the sense that I can apply it to the way I feel about Grandpa because I never really got to know him.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear.
I remember in kisses and your charm. Please come back, say you'll be mine. I'll be loving you till the day I die. I'll be loving you till the day.
One thing I tried to do with this podcast is figure out who the heck this song is about.
Well, that was the first thing I thought of when I heard the song, because he's missing this person. So, you know, at first you think, okay, I think this is a love song, and then he's married to our grandma, and then I realize, oh, he's talking about someone he's missing. I don't know that this is about grandma.
Yeah.
So who is the song about?
Well, grandma told me at one point that she thinks it could be about his ex-wife, Barbara. Did you know he had a wife and three kids before marrying grandma?
I did know that. I knew that from grandma, but I don't think that grandpa was a regular presence in their lives. It's strange to think that he had these people are related to us, right? They have some of the same blood that we do, and yet I don't really know anything about them. So grandma told you that she thinks it could have been about his ex-wife.
Yes. One thing that happened in grandpa's life is Barbara apparently left Eastern Europe and went to America in 1935. Leaving grandpa behind. And then grandpa came to America 4 years later, and she was living with another man at the time. So, you know, that may have interfered with how much his kids or his ex-wife was in his life, you know. And then according to grandma, grandpa didn't tell her that he was married before until after they were married. And she was apparently really surprised by it.
I would think so, yeah. I mean, isn't that telling that this was not a man who shared a lot about himself, even with the woman he married? Hearing that song, it's all about this secret inner life that he had. When I hear that grandma thinks, oh, it's about his ex-wife, then you realize, what did he do? What happened to that relationship? He must have been filled with regret. Was he always thinking about her? I'm obviously grandma's grandson. And so, you know, you want to think that your grandparents were, you know, married for a very long time and, you know, they loved each other and that their marriage was all about love. And maybe they did. I don't really know. I mean, grandma speaks so fondly of grandpa and, you know, misses him and shares memories about him. But he had, you know, he had other memories too, and someone else he also loved. And, you know, if we're to believe grandma's theory, and if this song had meaning enough to grandpa that he would go and he'd want to get it written down and have our mom write it and then go to Alan's friend. Imagine that scene. Stern grandpa, who I don't think he was necessarily the guy who all the kids in the neighborhood were having a catch with or playing on the front lawn with. I bet they were just as intimidated as we were as kids. And also I'm picturing Uncle Alan and his friends in the 70s, these kind of, you know, hippie types. And then grandpa goes to this recording session. That song must have been really important to him. And he had to get that recorded for him to do that. Again, it's something we'll never know. We'll never know the story of how that marriage ended and why she left. And did he follow her here to America and tried to make something happen? Didn't work. She was with somebody else. I mean,
well, one thing that kind of adds to the complexity of the story is that grandpa with this other woman, Barbara, they had three children. And the youngest child, Elizabeth, stayed with grandpa, and she took two of the kids, the older kids, to America. So when he re- eventually came to America himself, he had his daughter Elizabeth with him. You know, like you said, it could be something where, you know, she left with the kids to America, but no, like one of the kids stayed behind with grandpa.
But how old was Elizabeth?
I believe she was 4 at the time when the mother left with the other two kids.
The falling exchange between my brother and I is based on new information about my grandfather's daughter, Elizabeth, that my grandmother recently revealed to my mother.
Here's what we know about Elizabeth. You know, she made it to America, obviously, you know, with grandpa. According to grandma, she was like a cigarette billboard model who was dating a gangster. The gangster was murdered, so Elizabeth killed herself, according to grandma. Grandma also said that grandpa knew that something had happened to her one day when he was walking outside and he saw a bird. So there's that whole element to this story.
Have you done any of the kind of ancestry.com or, you know, have you done any of the research into Elizabeth? And because I would assume there would be death records or...
From my research so far, we know a lot about grandma's side of the family, and it doesn't pull up much about grandpa's side of the family at all.
Kind of amazing, incredible details. You know, you tell me about his daughter, and she was a model, and she dated a gangster who was killed, and then she kills herself. That's a pretty phenomenal story. I want to know all the details as if it were a well-researched book. And it, you know, it becomes so much harder when a lot of the people involved are now, you know, older or have died. And there's no written record and all you have is this song. Are there any other songs that exist? Does anybody have anything else that he wrote?
As of right now, I have not found anything else. Is it possible there's something out there? Yes.
Hmm.
One thing that I found out about Grandpa's rough childhood in Czechoslovakia, Grandpa had farm work to do when he was young, but what he really wanted to do was to play the violin. And apparently his father, Charles, was so upset at him for not doing his work that he smashed Grandpa's violin over his head.
You know, you hear something like that and it is... It's tragic because, you know, so many things have to line up in your life for you to come out okay on the other side of it. And if you're this kid with these dreams and who wants to be creative, but you're living in this hard place with a father who would do something like that, I mean, he literally took his dream and smashed it over Grandpa's head.
Right. Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking and it humanizes Grandpa and it gives a glimpse into, I would think, a big moment that would have shaped his life. And that, you know, was that the moment that shut the door on his dreams? He didn't lose that feeling and that desire inside, but that was probably something he could never express outwardly again. Imagine what an effect that would have on a person coming from your father. You know, with my kids, you know, we're always telling them, you can do whatever you want. And they tell us all kinds of dreams that they have and things that they want to do, and it changes, but we support them and encourage them and tell them that anything is possible. And so, you know, imagine the cruelty of what Grandpa experienced. It's heartbreaking. You know, as you put together all these pieces and hear these different stories, and, you know, it starts to fill in this picture and you start to say, okay, well, I can understand a little better maybe why he was the way he was.
It makes you wonder how that shaped him as a parent. And Mom told me some things about his parenting. And one of the things she, you know, mentioned that Grandpa never hugged her. He never told her that he loved her, but still she felt loved. But he did, on his deathbed, tell her that he loved her.
Well, I'm glad she got that moment. Even though she says, I felt loved, I mean, that had to have been a question. And I would think that would leave a mark on all of those kids, on all of our aunts and uncles, to get that affection when that's all kids want. You have a son, I have two kids. They're always looking to us to, for us to be proud of them and to love them. And that's all they want. And they're incredibly forgiving. So even when we have our, you know, our moments where we snap at them, they don't hold it against you. Grandpa withheld love or didn't show his affection, and yet mom still to this day feels loved, is a testament to a child's ability to look beyond things and to still almost never get rid of that feeling of wanting the love and pride of their parents, right?
Yeah. Well, one thing she did kind of mention too was that, you know, one thing that Grandpa really respected was hard work, and that, you know, she was a hard worker, so that made him proud of her.
What else did she say about her relationship with Grandpa?
You know, she said, obviously, Grandpa was a complex man, and, you know, they aren't all perfect memories. But she said she honestly just looks back at him fondly. She also talked about Uncle Alan and Grandpa's relationship, Uncle Alan being the oldest son. Grandpa was hard on him, and according to Mom, would discipline him with a belt. And Mom mentioned that one particular time she got between Uncle Alan and Grandpa to stop him from disciplining him, which I thought was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard these things with Uncle Alan, and that's the part of Grandpa that I don't really know him as a person. And so these stories kind of accumulate in my own interactions where he never showed any love for us. He certainly wasn't affectionate, you know, didn't play with us, barely talked to us. And so my own personal impressions and then hearing these stories with Uncle Alan, I mean, that all sort of tracks and makes sense to me. And that's the image of Grandpa that has, you know, kind of been cemented in my mind. And so when you hear these other stories about his upbringing, his experiences with his dad, and you think about the cyclical nature of violence and how it's passed on because that's what you learn as a child. And then when you become a father, you know, and so Grandpa is repeating what he learned from his own father, and whether or not he was, you know, he wasn't strong enough to get out of that mindset, or that was the only thing he knew. It's incredibly sad for Uncle Alan, and I think it had huge implications for him. Mom is a very, you know, forgiving person, and I think a strong person, and you know, in her relationship, Grandpa's her dad, so it's a completely different relationship than we had with him. And so she's obviously going to view it very differently. But it's hard for me because, you know, I would never imagine doing something like that to my own children. And you try very hard to create a home that's, you know, peaceful and safe, where they feel loved and respected. And Mom and aunts and uncles had a very different experience growing up.
You did some traveling with Uncle Alan in Europe. Did he ever talk about Grandpa?
Really, when his kids talk about him, they always speak of him very fondly. And Alan especially, I think, revered him. So Alan never shared any negative or bad things about Grandpa with me. Uncle Alan grew up and became a musician and a guy who could build a house just like his dad, because seemingly so different from each other and, you know, maybe butting heads and But at the same time, Alan, Uncle Alan, it seems like he followed in Grandpa's footsteps in a lot of ways. And I think revered him as far as I could tell. But yeah, I mean, I spent a whole week with Uncle Alan in France and in England. And we went back and met our French family and in Alsace, you know, Grandma's brother and cousins and her nephews. And, you know, we spent a lot of time together. And we went up to Liverpool to see all the Beatles stuff because Uncle Alan loves the Beatles. But never did he, you know, there weren't any stories about Grandpa, at least that he told me.
You know, I do plan to reach out to Uncle Alan to see if he will talk on this subject matter. I'm not sure if he will or not. He's certainly, you know, a private guy. But like you said, he's kind of a carbon copy of Grandpa in a lot of ways. And that guy is amazingly talented. His body of work, the songs that he's recorded and written over the years are amazing. So I hope to someday give him a call.
You know, a question for Uncle Alan, who wrote dozens of songs and recorded songs and played all over the place in New York City, in the Hudson Valley. And Uncle Alan had the same dream, which was to make it, right? To get a recording contract, to put out an album that would be heard by, you know, millions of people, right? That was the dream. He had this, presumably the same dream as Grandpa. And maybe Alan, Uncle Alan, got a little bit closer to that dream in that he was able to record more. He played in a bunch of different bands. He never achieved what he probably hoped he would, you know, but he continued on with this tradition that he picked up from his dad. And did Grandpa ever go and see Uncle Alan perform? Did you ever hear any of his songs? You know, what did he think about that?
That's a great question. Years later, Mom said that Grandma and Grandpa visited Grandpa's hometown. They went there in 1989. And the town only had like one phone and the roads were a disaster. And, you know, prosperity never came to Grandpa's town. It was still very poor. But Grandpa did take Grandma to see a cinder block house that he had built for his mother.
Hmm.
It was still standing. So Grandpa must have been quite the carpenter.
Well, and the fact that he built the house for his mom is a very touching aspect of that story, right? It wasn't, you know, he was proud of it. He was proud that he built something. He was proud that it was still standing. And I think that's always been the thing I've admired about people who can build. They build it and it's there and it has a chance to stand up, you know, for all time. And the fact that he built it for his mom is very sweet. Connecting everything to this song, but you know, a song when it's just in your head doesn't go very far. And if it just stays in your head, then when you die, it's gone forever. And so in a way, him recording this song, you know, was like building that house for his mom. It was something then that could last, that would be around, that other people could experience and, you know, enjoy and be affected by it. You know, we're, I guess, fortunate that he was able to have that song recorded and to have a piece of him, you know, that stays on.
You know, one thing that this project made me grateful for was the struggle of our immigrant grandparents and how if they didn't travel across the sea and eventually meet, we wouldn't even exist today. What do we owe them for their sacrifices?
I always call Grandma on the anniversary of her arrival in America, right? If she had made a different choice, we wouldn't be here. You know, there's all these choices that Grandma and Grandpa made throughout their lives. And if it had gone in the other direction, life would be completely different and we wouldn't have been here. But I think the idea that they came here with very little and had to literally build a life for themselves by building that house and adding to it, you know, piece by piece, floor by floor, until they had this house. And it was challenging. It was incredibly difficult to come to a new place and not speak the language. Their lives were not easy by any stretch, and having all those kids. But it's nice to see how the family expanded, and there are all these grandkids, and you know, that all started with them. And so they gave some sort of foundation to their kids, and that gets passed on to us.
You know, Mom said when she was young, the family felt like outsiders because Grandma and Grandpa were immigrants, and I guess because they were poor. Sadly, I don't think things are much better today for immigrants and their families, even though we're a nation made up of immigrants.
In one breath, we use our immigrant history as this source of pride, and America is so amazing that people from all around the world have come here. And then in the next breath, we demonize immigrants. We treat them horribly. We use them as scapegoats. It's absolutely disgusting. Immigrants helped build this country. The place wouldn't exist, wouldn't be what it is without the labors of immigrants, without the contributions in science and medicine and the arts and all of it. We love to treat people badly. I don't know why.
I just hope we evolve as a country that's more inclusive, and we realize that all people are valued. And that's what should be the real American dream, the real American promise.
You know, it's going to be a long road, because when you've got the descendants of immigrants who don't appreciate that lesson, then we've got a lot of work to do.
On the next episode of My Grandfather's Secret Life in Music, we do something different. We take some time to focus on my grandmother. Unlike my grandfather, my grandmother has been a huge part of my life. Unfortunately, her body and mind are starting to fail. I will interview my brother about our grandmother's impact on our lives. One of the most priceless links that we still have to our family's past is our grandmother. Are you afraid that that link will be gone soon?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, we've always been very close with Grandma. You know, I've tried very hard throughout the years to soak up all of these stories.
We will also talk with my mother about my grandmother's amazing life, including the time her country was invaded and occupied by the Nazis.
She remembers that one time teenage boys had put excrement on Hitler's picture. So the Germans then rounded up all the teenage boys and shot them.
All this and more on My Grandfather's Secret Life in Music. Be sure to check out our website, www.mygrandfatherssecretlifeinmusic.com.
Kisses when we kissed, and you come back and say that you'll be mine. I'll be loving you till the day I
I see.